Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, Matt Ellis. Well, if you thought last week's was depressing, well, here we go then. 6-1, so not a good week, was it? I mean, I'll tell you what, let's start with this. 5-0 at half-time, 6-1 final result against Harrogate. Is this the lowest point that the club's been? I'm struggling to think of another one.
Yeah, we're now, we're at rock bottom. You know, as long as I have been a Scunthorpe United fan, this is the worst I've ever seen it. Not just on the pitch, off it. In the stands, it's getting pretty dicey. It kicked off a bit yesterday, which we'll go into later. And I just think that the manner of the defeat, the manager's kind of body language when he was coming off and going on the pitch yesterday, you know, just the complete and utter devastation of our performance yesterday was one of the worst I've seen us, you know, as a performance itself. But also just the run at the minute, I think, you know, I don't know what it is now. It's like 2 wins in 29 or something like that, you know. And it's that, you know, we are now at the lowest point. We're the bottom of the Football League. We scraped relegation last season where we just stayed up, of course, you know, and we're here again at the bottom of the league. We're minus 16 goal difference. The club is in utter disarray. I listened to Cox's interview after the game yesterday and he just didn't seem to know what he was saying. He didn't have a clue. Some of his comments were just downright nonsense. And he just doesn't seem to know what to do at this point. You know, relatively inexperienced manager. Won't know how to turn it around. Not now. We're in a pretty dark hole, I'm afraid. And it's difficult to see how we turn it around, because as we mentioned previously, you know, to sack Cox is essentially Swan's last roll of the dice at this point, maybe for his entire tenure as chairman of Scunthorpe United. So, you know, rock bottom right now. And yesterday was as probably as embarrassed as I've been to be a Scunthorpe United fan at a game. It was genuinely, you know, abhorrent, you know, disgraceful, shocking, absolute shite, to be quite honest. But yeah, so yeah, you're right. Yeah, Brad, we're as bad as it's ever been right now. And it's terrible to be a Scunthorpe United fan.
I completely kind of echo those comments. I think it was just, yeah, shameful performance, really. I'm trying to think of sort of a worse first half. Going back, you know, I just can't think of one, to be honest. And take nothing away from Harrogate, you know, they're a decent side. They're doing well this season, and they deserve a lot of credit, because I think you know, they've kind of come up through non-league and they've kind of held their own in this division, and they're doing really well. But you know, I think that's the lowest we've been. I know we've had sort of heavy defeats in the past. But they've been against better opposition. You know, even in the Championship, we were holding our own and we weren't getting hammered like this. And it was a really dark day, I think, for the club. But I mean, Matt, you know, you're saying it's kind of we've hit rock bottom, but I think, you know, I think we can go even lower than this, to be honest. I don't think we're at the bottom yet. I don't think we've reached the bottom. I think this is the lowest we've been for a long, long time. Certainly sort of since we've been watching the club. And, you know, talking to fans who've been going sort of 50, 60, 70 years, I think they'll say it's certainly up there as well with sort of the worst they've ever seen. It was just the manner of the performance yesterday. I don't know what you say about it, to be honest. It was just absolutely embarrassing from start to finish. You know, I think it kind of leaves Cox in a very difficult position. As Matt said, I think the fans had started to turn yesterday, not just kind of against the players, but I think against sort of the board as well. I think we saw quite a lot of sort of chance in that first half before the majority of the fans left. And yeah, I think, as I said, you know, we were speaking about it, was it last week, and we said we could kind of see this on the horizon. One bad result, or, you know, it's not been one, has it? It's kind of an accumulation of hammerings, really. You look at the Newport 3-0, obviously Rotherham, we get hammered. I know, you know, we did okay that game. We looked okay for spells. And then yesterday, and it's just, it's one thing after the next. It's every week we're talking about the same things. And yeah, I just don't know where we turn now. I know, obviously, second Cox would really be the last throw of the dice that Swan's got. I'm surprised it hasn't happened, actually, just because of the manner of the defeat yesterday. I think, you know, it's very difficult to come back from that. I don't know how he picks the players up and kind of gets them to go again. And yeah, as I say, I'm surprised he's still here. You know, I think it's probably time up for him now. I think it's for him as well. I just think, you know, I don't expect him to walk away from the job. I think, you know, he's obviously a fan of the club. He loves the club. I don't think he's one that's going to kind of give up. But I just think, you know, the way it was turning yesterday, it was, you know, that toxic atmosphere. I think he's starting to appear. And, you know, it's not a good place to be right now. And I just think, you know, yeah, it's coming to a head. And, you know, I think if he's not this week, I think, you know, you look at the next game, Forest Green, that's another very difficult game. You can't see us getting anything from that. And, you know, even sort of towards the end of the month, we said it was a difficult month. We said it would be very difficult to pick up many points. You know, I just can't see him lasting much longer, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I think it was just a complete embarrassment. And, you know, it's getting worse game by game.
Well, I will point out that as we're recording this now, it's 6:30 on the Sunday evening. We do have a tendency of recording these, and then the second we finish, something big happens with the club, don't we? So just in case there is any news, that's the time that we are recording. There's quite a lot to unpack, I think, from what you've both said there. But I will start with this. For everything that's been going on behind the scenes, we know sort of the state of the club at the minute. We know we've talked about fans not turning up to home games and everything like this. Before the Harrogate game, there was a decent atmosphere about it. You know, despite, you know, the chairman's been on here, he's been on Humberside, says whatever he says in the interviews, everything like that. We've sold out the tickets, though. Yeah, what did we get? About 600? We sold them out. I know people that, you know, haven't actually been for a while that were looking for this game. I think a lot of people, it's probably a new ground for them, isn't it? Given that we couldn't go last year. As I say, we sold out. We took a lot of people. And then you get a performance like this.
You're right. I think we saw that. And I think if we probably could have sold maybe another 300 tickets, obviously it would have made it even worse on the day. I think we were right before the game. The atmosphere was all right. Went to a couple of pubs. There's quite a few Scunny fans in and around Harrogate before the game. And everybody seemed relatively upbeat. You know, nobody was, you know, kind of talking about the bottom of the league and stuff like that. Because I think at 2 p.m. the team was announced. And I thought, you know, pretty much the best sort of give or take Cox could have picked, you know, looked like 4-4-2, and kind of our best available team there. Maybe Pugh should have been in with Beeston, but I'm sure we'll talk about that. In the centre of midfield, and I think, you know, we thought, you know, maybe, you know, might be time to get a result here. And it became apparent that, unfortunately, all the relatively muted optimism at the start of the game was, you know, pretty well badly misplaced. And obviously, we knew within about 90 seconds, I think, you know, Harrogate nearly scored. Thompson with a header off the line, and then a couple of corners that came in. We just couldn't deal with them. You know, good balls in, but pretty basically terrible defending. And we should have been like 2 or 3 down even before we conceded a goal, to be quite honest. So yeah, it just kind of, that whole atmosphere, it's strange optimism, really, given like how bad it had been, and how much kind of noise had been around kind of questioning Swan. And obviously he came on the podcast and he went on Humberside, you know, to come out because he seemed to be a little bit absent. And I don't think he was at the game yesterday either, make of that what you will. But I think it just, within about Yeah, obviously a few minutes, it just all turned to shit, really. And you could see what was going to happen, you know, and I didn't really expect it to happen as, you know, be as bad as it was. Nobody really see that coming. I thought we might lose like 4-0 or something like that. I didn't quite expect it to be as bad as it was. It just turned really, really, really nasty within about 10, 15 minutes of the game.
Well, that was it, wasn't it? I mean, as you say, 20 seconds in or so, they get the first corner, don't they? And, you know, that first goal is coming. And I think we were talking just before we started recording this, you know, we're three down in 15 minutes. And you're saying, Matt, that was, obviously, you two went, you were there, I saw it on iFollow. You're saying after that 15 minutes, you're three down, that's when there was a bit of a turn in the stands.
Yeah, there was definitely. I think, you know, it's not nice to see because, you know, I think everyone's really passionate, everyone cares. And I think, you know, there are differing viewpoints. And from what I could gather from the couple of kind of little flare points that around where I was stood, it seemed to be sort of some fans blaming Swans, some blaming Cox. And, you know, there was, it wasn't a punch up, but, you know, it could have easily been. And it's just not nice to see when your own fans are kind of arguing and it's turning like that in the stand. And I know during the second half, obviously, there were very similar incidents, but yeah, I think it was just one of those. Obviously, a lot of the fans that were there yesterday, you know, there's quite a few that are kind of boycotting the home games for whatever reason, to kind of show their displeasure to the board. Obviously, they were there yesterday, turned out in relatively good numbers, and you know, I think it was always going to happen if we went a goal behind or a couple of goals behind, especially with the way the players were performing. And it's only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time before that happened. I know we spoke about that recently, and yeah, it just kind of all sort of boiled over, unfortunately. And you know, you look at other clubs, Southend, you know, that it seems to be happening there sort of every week with what's happening there. And you look at Southend, and for me, they're sort of potentially sort of a vision into the future of Scunthorpe United, really. I think it's very similar circumstances there. Obviously, fans not happy with what's happening and decisions that have been made off the pitch. I think you're seeing the beginning of that here, to be honest. It's not nice. You don't want to see sort of fans squaring up to each other, and you know, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. Obviously, there's a lot of alcohol involved yesterday for a lot of fans, and it's depressing to watch, isn't it? And I think people are angry. I think the bottom line is the players really just aren't good enough, and I think you've got to decide who kind of is to blame for that. I think Cox has got to take some of the blame, given that he's signed the players. He's told us how good they are. You know, the sort of characters he wants in the football club. They're going to give the role for the shirt. You know, and then he comes out yesterday to say that they're not doing that. Well, you know, that's not Swan. At the end of the day, I know he's given him sort of a really low budget to work with. But Swan's not kind of man-managing those players. Swan's not kind of training them every week. And I'm not kind of saying Swan's not to blame here for what's going on. I think we all know the problems at the club have started long before Neil Cox arrived and go a lot deeper than Neil Cox. But I think the problem is, you know, ultimately the players on the pitch, we don't think they're good enough. But again, it wasn't long ago we were saying that although maybe they're lacking a bit of technical ability, they're going to give their all. And I think you've got to look at when that changed and why that changed, because, you know, certainly yesterday, just some of the players, yeah, just, I know they're not up to it sort of skill-wise, but, you know, you'd have thought, oh, we were seeing them give their all. And you look back at the Walsall game, you look back at the Tranmere game, and now, that gave me quite a lot of optimism, really, for the rest of the season. Watching those games, I did think we'd be able to maybe steer clear of relegation. But, for, you know, recent events, I think what's happening now on the pitch, it's very difficult to see anything other than relegation, to be honest. I just don't see how it turns round. And I think the other thing you've got to look at is whether, you know, sacking Cox is going to make much difference. Because at the end of the day, we know the players are of sort of limited ability. But having said that, I think earlier on in the season, we looked fairly solid. I think we, you know, we weren't conceding many goals. We looked fairly organised. And for some reason, that's turned to shit in the last few weeks, the last month. And it's getting worse. And I think ultimately, Cox has probably got to kind of take responsibility for that. And, you know, I think we definitely have sat managers for less. The run has been horrendous, really. Last season with better players couldn't do it. Obviously called out a few of the players and said their egos and things like that and couldn't manage them. And then he's kind of had free rein this summer to bring in the players he wants. And I think you made a good point earlier on, Brad, before we started tonight that, you know, if he had more of a budget to spend, would he have gone for those players? Probably not. But at the end of the day, he signed them. He told us how good they were. They were going to give their all, and that's just not happening now. And I think ultimately that he's got to. There's been a lot bigger problems at the club that need to be sorted. But you know, that is the last roll of the dice we've got this season. You know, you can change the manager. Unfortunately, a lot of people now are calling for a change in the boardroom. But you know, that's not going to happen overnight, is it? Let's be honest. The only thing we can change, we can't change the players. We're under embargo. The only thing we can change is the manager. And, you know, I think he's a top guy. I've not really got a bad word to say about him. I think he comes across well. I think he means well. But ultimately, I just don't think he's good enough to turn this round. And it remains to be seen whether anyone is. You know, that is a big question as well. But I think sooner rather than later that we've got to make that decision to give someone else as much time as possible with these players.
Well, I mean, obviously, as you can imagine, a lot of the comments we've had sent in has been about this very topic, you know, because any other year, it's hard to see how somebody survives, you know, a 6-1, especially with the club how we are. But just that point there, you know, can anybody else get something out of this squad? Who comes in, given what you've seen, you know, and obviously, let's not forget, we've gone through a lot of managers recently. You know, that's obviously public knowledge. I mean, what do you see happening if he does go? I mean, well, first of all, do you think he will go soon or... And then what happens then? I mean, Tony McMahon's been brought in. Do you think it's going to be him till the end of the season? Do you get rid of all of them and try and bring in somebody else? I mean, I genuinely have no idea which way this one will go.
I'm with you, Brad. I don't really know. It's difficult to say, isn't it? I think, you know, yesterday was, you know, enough, of course, to sack any manager in the past kind of 10 years. You know, if they had been sacked, nobody would be like, oh, you know, that's not a good decision. We've just got hammered. We've not won many games at all, you know, and, you know, no questions asked, really. Yeah, right decision, you know, absolutely. But as we said, I think that genuinely this probably is his last roll of the dice, Swan. This is the last thing he can do to essentially stop us dropping out of the Football League. And I can't, as you said, I just can't see Cox turning around. I just thought that the way he was talking in his post-match interview yesterday just kind of did not give me any confidence whatsoever. He was obviously trying to hide his kind of anger at the result, which, of course, he will do. He'll be, you know, really, really upset about that. But I think that I don't think he's got the answers or the know-how to turn it around. And I don't think that really, you know, we're in this situation now and any of the backroom staff are helping. You know, we've got kind of people in there that have been there for years, like legacy staff, and really, what have they ever, you know, what have they been contributing? We've been on a downward slide for ages. It might not be the end of the world just to change the whole lot of the backroom staff, really, and bring in a completely new team. We've done that before. It's not necessarily worked. But as you said, we can't change the team because of the embargo. We can't change the board because, you know, you just can't do that at the moment. So the only thing you can do is change the management team, and it would be completely justifiable to do that at this point in time. And he needs to sort of do it. And if he's going to do it, he needs to do it at the right time. He needs to get his timing right. You know, he can't do it sort of like after January. He needs to do it before January. Somebody needs to come in. They need to assess the squad and decide, you know, what they want to do. If they can, you know, then get some movement in January, obviously it'll be limited with the embargo. It'll be kind of subject to players leaving and things like that. And who's going to take them on, you know, based on how they've performed so far this season, Christ knows. But if he's going to do it, it's got to be before January. So really, if we're being realistic, you know, what we now are October, aren't we? So, you know, it probably wouldn't surprise me if the results don't turn around before the end of this month, that Cox goes. And I think the next couple of games at home to Forest Green, another difficult one. I can see is getting hammered again. And then I think the next one is away on the Tuesday night to Barrow. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think so.
So, you know, if we lose those two and we're coming towards the end of October, it's probably time, I'm afraid, to say goodbye to Cox and his, the majority of his backroom staff, to give the new guy, whoever this may be, and it's going to be a pretty small pool of managers to choose from, to be quite honest, because the rate we're going through managers, and you know, who's going to want to come and walk into this absolute shit show. And at the same time, yeah, ideally you want an experienced manager, but we've seen how experienced managers have previously clashed with Swan, and that's not really worked. So it's about getting the balance. And unfortunately to say, you know, I don't really want, but Swan's not got it right for the past, no, however many six or so managers. So you know, if he don't get this right, that's quite honestly potentially the end of the football club, in terms of we'll go down and never come back, and that's where we are now. These are really high stakes, so I've got really no confidence in the next appointment, and I've also got no confidence in Cox to keep us up, unfortunately, and that's just where we are. You know, as we said, we reach rock bottom, and as you said, Matt, we can go lower, you know, and I think we will, you know, genuinely. I think the lower is to get, it's just a matter of the relegation, I think, at this point, because I can see us finishing with a pretty low points tally, minus 16 goal difference already. Where are the goals going to come from? No idea. You know, how are we going to keep calls out defending like we did yesterday? No idea. Cox was, you know, a good centre-back, wasn't he? You know, he played in the Premier League, so why the hell are we defending like this? You know, what were the excuses? There are none, really. We shouldn't be defending like the way we are. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I think he will go. I think it's unless there is some sort of miracle, you know, and it just starts to turn around, Christ knows how, with the players we've got, because they're not good enough. It's quite simple. You know, some of them shouldn't even be playing in, you know, in a Sunday league team, let alone a football league team, to be quite honest, they're that bad.
It links to what you said earlier, doesn't it? The one of the worrying things about yesterday is the fact that realistically on paper at the minute, that's probably there or thereabouts the strongest team we could put out.
That's the worry, isn't it? And yeah, you are right. I think give or take, that's the strongest team you put out, and we're getting hammered, absolutely destroyed by Harrogate in a really, really abysmal fashion. And I think, yeah, Harrogate were really good, but I don't think they were that good. You know, I thought they did what they had to do, take us apart, and it was really basic, and all they had to do was pass the ball around quicker than we could get near them, and just have shots that were on target. And you know, if you have a shot on target with Watson in goal, it's going to go in. It's as simple as that. So that's all they had to do.
I would point out that I don't think you can put the goals on Watson yesterday. I think any of them really. I think
not particularly his fault, but we know what he's like, but yeah, they were all a disgrace, not just Watson, you know, they were all an absolute joke yesterday, and you know, disgraceful. And I think that it was quite clear from the away fans who were singing "You're not fit to wear the shirt" quite audibly, and they you know, definitely would have heard that, you know, and rightly so, because you know, it was the worst I've ever seen, and they should all be ashamed. And I don't know why Cox hasn't got him in training tomorrow, you know, just because it was that bad, you know. So there we go.
Yeah, some good points again. And you know, I think for me, if he doesn't go, and I know that there's been quite a lot of accusations flying around recently that Peter Swan doesn't really care about the club anymore. We obviously asked him whether he did. He said he did. He said he still enjoyed it, and he was still committed. But, you know, a lot of fans don't believe that's the case. I think if he doesn't sack him this week, or, you know, if we lose to Forest Green and he doesn't sack him, I think that to me, that's alarm bells really do start ringing, because for me, there's no way Cox is going to keep us in this division. And I'm not saying any other manager would be able to, because I appreciate the squad is absolutely abysmal. However, I think if he doesn't sack him, I'd be even more concerned, actually, because I think then that proves, well, it doesn't prove, but to me, it would. I'd be more inclined to think that, yeah, he's not that interested in the club anymore, because he sacked managers. You know, obviously Alexander, because he thought you know, it was our best chance of getting in the playoffs, and that proved to be the case. We obviously made the playoffs, but obviously after that, it's kind of gone downhill. But yeah, for me, it would be massively concerning, because I just cannot see. I'm with you, Matt. I just cannot see how he's going to turn it around. I know we was in this position last season, and I think I said the same last season, and he did to an extent, obviously tailed off near the end and nearly went down. But we had that kind of good spell. And I think, you know, if he does stay, I think he's banking on Kenyon coming back and being, you know, that sorting that midfield out.
Good effort.
From what I've seen. Yeah, from what I've seen, he's just not up to it. I know he probably wasn't fit at the start of the season. Maybe a little bit unfair. I think we probably need to see a bit more of him. But yeah, from what I've seen, I don't think he's the answer. And if Cox is kind of banking on him coming back and shoring the midfield up, I just don't think that's the case. And I think a lot of it as well, I've seen a few good points this week, suggesting that we might not be able to afford to sack him or sack, you know, the rest of the management team, which again, there may be some truth in that, to be honest, because I think if potentially, you know, in the past, he's kind of wielded the axe, you could say willy-nilly, couldn't you, really? And I think, you know, now there's been a reluctance to do so. I think he's always, sort of over the past year, he said that, you know, he's taking a different approach. But I think that the time does come where you've got to make that decision. And yeah, I think we'll probably see that in, if not this week, in the next couple of weeks. I think it's just an inevitability about it. But yeah, it's an interesting point whether we can afford to. And then you look at the sort of the management team at the moment. Obviously, if Cox goes, you'd expect Lillis to. And I think with Lillis, I don't know. For me, you know, I was really excited when he came back to the club again. I think he's a really top guy, but I've just been so disappointed, really, with the two as kind of a pair. But you know, I think it's obviously you think back and my kind of memories of him sort of when I first started watching the club was sort of the Swansea and getting the fans up for it, and I appreciate it. Obviously different situation when you're at the bottom of the league, but I've just been so disappointed with him, really. And maybe that's a little bit unfair, but that's just my opinion. I just don't think it's worked. Obviously been out of the game for a long time, and he wanted to help the club like Coxie loves the club, but it's just not working. And you look at McMahon, obviously McMahon's probably the one that will stay and take caretaker charge if the decision is made. But again, you know, he's a very experienced, he was a very experienced player. Again, with Cox, played in the Premier League, with Middlesbrough, you know, they've got a hell of a lot of experience. And unfortunately, we're defending so poorly, it's just shocking. And I think quite a lot of it is coming from the midfield and the lack of a midfield. However, defensively, we've just got to be so much better. And it's worrying that actually you look at that defence yesterday. You know, Millen's not a young lad. You look at Taft, you look at Davis, you know, they're experienced players. And I know Thompson, obviously, only a young lad coming through. But you look at the other three, they're experienced players in there. And it just wasn't good enough. And they weren't picking up players, free headers. I mean, Taft, was it a third goal? I don't know what he's doing. just absolutely disgraceful, actually, the way that those kind of goals were allowed to happen. And that's the worry for me. I think you've got kind of defensively minded coaches there, and we're shipping, what, 30, is it 13 goals this week? You know, in 7 days. Yeah, it's just not good enough. And you just don't know really whether McMahon's would be the right one. I think maybe on a temporary basis, but I think we'd have to look elsewhere, to be honest. I think some of them, they've just been there too long as well, sort of Muzzy, and yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just gone stale, and I don't think, as I said, I don't think that's the big issue. I think there's other issues, but you know, sadly, I think it's time for a change, and you know, I think it needs to happen sooner rather than later.
You said it earlier on, and I think most Scunthorpe fans are like this as well. It's not about them personally. You know, I think they do both generally come across really, really well. And, you know, we've had them both on here, haven't we? You know, we've done in conversations with both of them. And they were great to us. They gave us the time. You know, they came on, they told the stories. It was great. But sentimentality can only get you so far, especially when you're at the bottom of the Football League. Let's turn to the pitch, I think. As you mentioned there, a lot of sort of issues defensively, certainly. I think for me, the worst one is probably the fifth goal just before half-time. It's that floated ball in. It's just a free header. It's just nobody getting marked. And like you say, you know, I think a lot of people have said, you know, it's a young squad, this sort of thing. I think Cox has said that as well. But as you just say there, you know, you're right. You know, it's not really. Yeah, we got some young players, but there's people in there that are sort of 24, 25 onwards as well, you know. I mean, I don't know, defending it like that, just across the board, across the team, it's just not acceptable at all.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't use the excuse that there's not experience there. As you said, you know, Davies, Millen's obviously not a kid anymore. Beeston, we can't really call him. You know, he's got a decent amount of experience, really. And across the pitch, it's not like we're playing under 19s, is it? It looked like we were. It was men versus boys yesterday for the first, well, most of the game. And I think it's just the manner of the defeat, really. It's just as soon as somebody took a shot, you knew it was just going to go in. The closing down, the hitters on the break, really, didn't they, twice? And
well, from their point of view, those breaks, they're pretty good, aren't they? I mean,
yeah, they're good.
We
goals,
did that. That's great. But I mean, yeah, from our point of view, it's just ridiculous. You're right. It was like every time they left their own box, basically, you think, right, here's another one.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. And I think that, you know, the breaks, they were really engineered by us. That ridiculous back heel thing from Taft, who know what the fuck he was doing.
What was
and
that?
Also, yeah, exactly. The other one where Green basically fell over, didn't he? And the ball ricocheted across to them and they broke again. And it was just all too easy. I think that the word Cox used was pitiful, and he was right. You know, it really was. It was absolutely pathetic, really. And it was a performance not befitting professional footballers. And really, they shouldn't have been paid for that. They should have all been fined, because that was just an absolute disgrace. I think if any of us or any Scunthorpe fans performed like that at work, we probably wouldn't need to come in the next day. And that's how bad it was. And you know, it just was an absolute disgrace, and as bad as I've ever seen it. And as I said, Harrogate were good. They were incisive. They knew exactly how to pick us apart. It's not difficult, let's be honest. You know, that gap between midfield and defence is huge. The midfield was completely anonymous. The centre backs didn't know where to position themselves. I thought Thompson had a terrible game yesterday. You know, and he's been pretty good so far this season. And it just all fell to bits, really. And yeah, you're right. The fifth goal was probably the worst, because it's just like, I don't even know really how to describe it. Muldoon was just stood there. He didn't have to even have to move. It just bounced off his head. You know, he didn't have to jump. There was nobody there. You know, it was marked. The entire defence just seemed to just completely disappear off the face of the earth. No idea. Well, and it's shocking. And I said it is pretty worrying, given that Cox was a centre back. You know, that we can't defend. You know, we just can't do the absolute basics. We get that team performance yesterday. We'll get torn apart. You know, in the conference, it will get torn apart the level below that, and it will probably get torn apart the level below that. So these players aren't even performing to a non-league standard at the moment. That they're performing to Christ knows what, as I said, a public league standard. And you know, they deserved all the abuse, they deserved all the boos, they deserved all the chanting against their performance, their integrity, their character. A lot of people were shouting, you know, where's the passion? You know, you're not fit to wear the shirt. None of them were. That was completely correct. You know, All of that was right, and it was abject, and it was embarrassment, and it was the worst I've ever seen, as long as I've been a Scunthorpe United fan.
Well, I think something that obviously you guys probably won't have heard. Obviously, I was obviously watching it on iFollow. You get the commentary. Obviously, I was listening to Nui as well, as we mentioned a lot last season, for his thoughts and sort of views of the game. Something that he said was that, and I think his depth is definitely right. You know. Yes, you remove Swan from this to an extent, remove Cox from this as well. At some point, this has got to come down to professional pride as a player. And, you know, the effort was not there yesterday. You can't turn around and say that every one of those players on that pitch was putting in everything, because they just weren't. And at some point, removing everything else from it, remove the tactics, remove who gets played, remove Swan, remove the behind-the-scenes stuff. At some point, it's got to come down to that player getting on the pitch and thinking, right, I'm going to do this for me, even if it's not for the team. You know, there's got to be some level of personal responsibility for this.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, we've seen it. It's not just this group of players, is it? Let's be honest.
No, true.
Since we've started this podcast, you know, the club's been on a bit of a downward spiral. and, you know, we could probably say it about the squad that got us relegated from League One. We could say it about last season. We could say it about this season. And yeah, you just, I don't know what the answer is, obviously. Yeah, it's very difficult, but there's obviously a reason why those players, I mean, I don't know whether you can say they've down tooled, but you know, I think you're right.
They weren't far off yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I think they were just going through the motions really. And, you know, it's not acceptable, but it's okay. Saying sort of take Cox out, take Swan out, take this and that out. But at the end of the day, that there's factors that are kind of making the players play like that or just not turn up. I don't know. It's a difficult one to answer, but you're right. I think those players, you know, that they've got to kind of look at themselves in the mirror after that performance, and it wasn't good enough. And I think to an extent, yes, they let Cox down as well. And you know, at the start of the season, that wasn't the case. I think they were given their all. They may come up a little bit short because they weren't good enough, but they were given their all. And I think, yeah, potentially, you know, we could only go on like that for so long. I think, you know, the quality or the lack of quality in the squad would probably have been found out eventually. But I think when a group of players turn up and play like they did yesterday, and it was lacking FN, it was lacking passion, it was lacking someone getting a foot in. I think you could probably argue Beeston put a few tackles in and was probably the only one that did really over the course of the game. Yeah, I mean, they have got to take some responsibility for that. I just think, yeah, there's other factors at play, and it's difficult to put your finger on why, but it's not just this group. We can't just kind of level it at this group of players. There's three that we've had over the past couple of seasons, and we've seen exactly the same from them. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you say. I don't know.
Let's look at a couple of players then. Maybe Loft, actually, because he's obviously been injured, hasn't he? He's come back in. He's got the mask on, which I think is something to his character as well, that he, you know, he's prepared to play like that and carry on. He came back Tuesday, didn't he? You know, he played a little bit on Tuesday. You watched Tuesday night, Matt, didn't you? And I think you were saying to us afterwards that you were relatively encouraged by it. But, I mean, what have you made of him sort of coming back?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a positive. For me, he was probably the best player on the pitch at Rotherham. I think he put a good shift in, looked sharp, and obviously took his goal really well. So that was a positive. And actually, I think in the two with Hallam, obviously Hallam playing alongside him, I think they work quite well together. So yeah, I think there's obviously positives to take from that. And I thought, to be honest, I thought there were some positives from that performance. I know Rotherham probably maybe took the foot off the gas a little bit when they got the two goals, which allowed us to play a little bit more. But I thought we played quite well. I thought we were moving the ball forward and trying to create chances, and I think we did. And to be honest, if we'd have drawn that game, it would have probably been a fair result. So, you know, to go from that against good opposition, and it was Rotherham's, you know, more or less, well, strong Rotherham side anyway, put it that way. To go from that and putting in a decent performance. I know the scoreline in the end, it looked like a bit of a hammering. I don't think it was. I do actually agree with Cox. I think over the course of the 90 minutes, we probably more or less matched them. To go from that to what we saw yesterday, you know, you just can't put your finger on why. There's no explanation for it, is there? I think, you know, all that sort of optimism and encouragement from the Tuesday night game, albeit it's in the Papa John's, not really, you know, it's Rotherham probably took the foot off the gas a little bit, as I say. It's gone, isn't it? It's gone straight away. And, you know, just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they can go from playing quite well. It obviously keeps faith with some of those players, gives them a chance again. And they kind of perform like that. It's just, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know.
Well, another player, we've obviously mentioned him a lot on this podcast recent weeks, Tom Pugh. He gets a late call up to the bench, doesn't he? I think, is it Perry gets dropped out in the warm-up, I think. But yeah, he's just come available. And I know you were talking about this one, Matt, weren't you, beforehand, that some of the comments that Cox made regarding Perry, but you've got Pugh there.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little bit bizarre, really. Obviously, we were getting overrun in the midfield. They just, they had complete control of it in that first half. And I think he mentioned, I don't know if it was on Humberside, but it was definitely on the official site in his post-match notes, that he would have liked to go with three in midfield to kind of just give us an extra player in there to maybe try and get a foothold in the game. But he couldn't because Perry had been injured in the warm-up and he was really disappointed. Well, you've got Pugh, and I know we keep sort of banging the drum, really, for Tom Pugh. But earlier in the season, he was top of the charts for tackles won. He was performing really well. And yesterday, he's talking about going to three in the middle and he completely overlooks him. Just a very strange comment. And I think, I suppose pressure, the pressure's on him now and it can make you say things. And I don't know, maybe that was partly it. But yeah, it just didn't make sense, really. And I think there's a lot to be said for sort of Pugh coming back into the side. But again, I think the management of him in the past couple of weeks has been poor, really. I know we've been told he's been injured and he's been sort of rested, if you like. And I think Swan told us he'd been rested a little bit just to get him back to fitness because we can't be without him for long periods of the season. But, for me, that just doesn't cut it, really. I think the way it's been handled since the Tranmere game, obviously him and Rowe dropped out. Neither of them have played since, really. Only bit parts since that. You look two young lads that did really well that Tranmere game, and I'd say Pugh, obviously, for the rest of the season, he's been good, one of our better players. To be frozen out like that, he's not great. And then he wonders why he's not performing in training, and he's saying that he's not doing it in training. Well, there's probably a reason for that, and I think that's down to poor management and sort of that's the only thing really I can say on it. I just think it's the whole situation has been handled poorly. I know he has had an injury, but he's not been injured for the entire time, and he's not been getting a look in. And I think yesterday, you're crying out for a bit of passion. He's going to give you that 100%. He'd put himself about. He'll go into tackles. And that's what the fans wanted to see yesterday, and we just saw nothing. And actually, to say we'll get Perry on to put in a few tackles, I don't think I've seen him make a tackle. And I'm not saying he's a bad player, because I think he's good on the ball. But I think if you want someone in there to give us a bit more bite, then you'd go for Pugh. And again, just completely overlooked him. I just couldn't understand the comment.
Right, obviously, we'll start to sort of, I think, come towards the end. I think there's still a few little bits to talk about on the pitch. We do, obviously, Thompson gets sent off, doesn't he? There's the penalty. That's in the second half. But, we mentioned the crowd earlier on, didn't we? Because I just think it's, it's not worth going through goal by goal like we normally do on the podcast. I mean, we'll be here all day for one thing. We did talk about the crowd earlier on and it's sort of turning a little bit. Matt, what else from that, from the stand? Because I think there is still a few other bits from there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. And I was just stood relatively directly behind the goal, and it did start to get a bit tasty in there. Obviously, there was a lot of abuse hurled at the players and things like that. But I think that the fans, they turned on the team, they turned on Cox, and they also turned on Swan. There was a lot of quite a lot of vocal kind of discord, if you like, towards the ownership as well, which is understandable at this point. And I think that's kind of been growing game by game, and it did kind of happen yesterday as well. But also the fans, they started turning on themselves. That's the first time I've really seen that in a way. And a lot of kind of Scunthorpe fans were just arguing with each other, a lot of telling them to just go home, it's time to leave. I saw a lot of Iron fans just leave the ground and go home after the third goal went in. A decent number, which was obviously really early on.
So that's 15 minutes, isn't it?
That's just really, really early, isn't it? So they're obviously disgusted. And, fair play to them. It's up to them. They've spent the money. They want to go home. it's up to them. But also, yeah, as I said, fans just arguing with each other quite vocally. And it did get really heated. A couple of pockets of fans that were relatively close to where we were standing, they were just arguing with each other and stuff like that. And a couple of fans were like applauding the players who came off. I didn't. It's if that's what they want to do, that's completely up to them. They've paid their money. It's no problem with that at all. Obviously, a lot were booing, and I think a couple of groups were just saying, you know, why are you clapping? That was, you know, an absolute disgrace. And then the other people saying, you know, why are you booing? That's not going to help either. You know, in my opinion, is completely how you, if you want to support your team, it's up to you. You've paid to go in. You know, you want to boo, you can boo. You want to clap, you can clap. But I think that that's the first time I've really seen it turn between fans against each other. That was a little bit worrying. And another kind of strange thing I noticed, really, and I'm not the only one at the start of the game when all the players were coming to the pitch. From the tunnel, I think Cox came on. He looked pretty downcast before the game had even started. He had his hands in his pockets. His head was down. I found that a little bit strange. I'm probably not the only one. I don't know. It's not the way that you want to see the manager come onto the pitch. You know, obviously we realise that it's Cox hasn't been having a great time recently, off the pitch as well. But I just thought that was a little bit strange from the manager, to be honest. You like to see your manager lead from the front, whoever they are. And also at the end of the game, when all the kind of the backroom staff, the physios, the subs came off the pitch past the away end, they were getting a lot of abuse, as you can probably expect. But Cox didn't seem go down the tunnel, and I was quite close to the tunnel. He seemed to kind of, the best way to describe it, he shirked it a little bit. He kind of tried to hide out the way of the abuse, and he kind of seemed to disappear, off the pitch through other means, which I didn't really sit right with me. I mean, I understand why he's done it. You know, he knows that he's going to come to the wind. He's not going to get applauded. He's going to get, you know, he's going to get booed. He's going to get people going to say, unsavory things to him. It's the way it is. But it was a little bit strange that he didn't face the music in some respect. I would have liked to see the manager come over and maybe just apologise and just say, you know, sorry, that was shy. I've seen managers do that before. Or just come over to applaud the fans. It's a little bit strange. As I said, I might have missed it. I might have missed him, but I was stood pretty close to the tunnel, and I did not see Cox leave the pitch or go down the tunnel. I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I found that a little bit strange. And he did make a point in his post-match interview on the Humberside that he, even though the players came over to the fans, they did get some abuse. He agreed with the abuse. You know, he agreed. He said yes, they're right to voice their opinion. It was not good enough. And he said yes, they should have come across to applaud the fans, which most of the players did. They did come across and applaud, or they came towards the fans. But Cox didn't do that. I didn't see him do that at all. And I thought that was a little bit strange. A little bit weird. So it all seemed a little bit strange. And also one other point. Relatively unrelated to that is that we saw Turan outside the ground just after the game. He stood there in his Scunthorpe United training clobber. He might have just been to the pub, I don't know. We spoke to him for about 5 minutes. He seemed like a really nice guy. He spoke really good English, and he just actually apologised for the performance. He said, that was shit. I'm sorry, lads. I'm really sorry about that today. And I said to him, what are you doing here, mate? I thought you were at Stockport. And he said, well, I got injured, so I'm back at the club now. And I was like, right, fair enough. So I thought I'd just mention that. Seems like a nice guy, but yeah, very, very, very strange. And I said the atmosphere within the away end was the strangest I've ever seen, and it is essentially felt like the sort of like the last days of Rome, you know. And it was very, very weird. It was all very kind of heated and dicey, and you're worried a little bit when fans turn on. She's like, I know people have arguments and disagreements, but I think that it was so kind of pronounced yesterday in the away end that I've so much so that I've never seen it like that before. So it was a very strange. Very strange day on Saturday, and an absolute disgrace as well. So.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. And like I say, it's definitely sort of at a point, isn't it? You know, something's going to give soon. What do you actually genuinely expect to happen this week coming up? Because we talked about earlier on, you know, potentially there's a change Monday. There might not be. It might be exactly this until, you know, Forest Green. What are you expecting either from the club, or do you think should happen this week?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think it's just, if it doesn't happen this week, it's sort of delaying the inevitable. So we'll see. I think tomorrow's going to be interesting. I think it'll tell us sort of a lot about sort of what Swan's ambitions are for the season, to be honest. I think, I think in the past he's taken sort of pretty decisive action when he needed to. Whether it was right or wrong at the time, we can all have our opinions about that. But I think, it's definitely needed here. And as I say, no bad words about Cox. I think he's trying his best. But as I said earlier, I just don't think it's good enough. And I think, as we've said, yes, there's big, big problems off the field. And I think, we'll probably talk about those in the next few weeks. I can see, it getting even worse, and I think fans are going to kind of voice the displeasure even more so than yesterday. But I think as it stands at the moment, it's the last throw of the dice, isn't it, for the club to stay in the Football League. You look at the table as it stands at the moment, you just can't see it, to be honest. Even now, I know we're only sort of a quarter into the season. The goal difference, the gap, we are adrift already, over the course of the season. It's massive, isn't it? And you just can't see us bridging it, especially when they perform like they did yesterday. So I think, that for me, the writing's on the wall. I think as it stands at the moment, with Cox, we're only heading one way. And do I think another manager can come in and save it? I don't know, but I think we've got to give it a chance. And again, we'll probably get bashed by the ones that are supporting Cox. I know it's not his fault per se. I know there's bigger issues, but that's basically, as I say, the last throw of the dice we've got left. And I think we've got to make that decision sooner rather than later. So I'm expecting it, whether it's this week, whether it's next week. It can't carry on like this. The record is absolutely abysmal. He's probably, I don't know, I don't think there's any other manager in the Football League that's been on such a run and survived and kept the job. And I know there's many other factors at play. I know the budget's poor. But one thing, I was listening yesterday on my way back from the game, and Tom Newey said that he'd had the rug pulled from under his feet. I didn't agree with that, really. I think, yes, he's got a low budget, but I think he knew that when he came into the club, and he knew what he was taking on. Perhaps the budget's been cut further since that. However, to say he's had the rug pulled, I'm not so sure. But I think, he took the job, and I know he's obviously taken the job because he loves the club and he wanted to help out, and he thought he could do it and turn it round. Sadly, it's not been the case, and it's probably going to be very difficult for any manager to turn it round, because it looks as though we're only heading one way. But I'd like to see someone else given a shot, and hopefully that sooner rather than later. And as I say, I think if he did leave, I think he can leave, and he's tried his best. But yeah, for me, I think enough is enough, and we've got to move on, and we've got to do it quickly and get someone else in that can give us, or try and give us sort of a bit of a lift and a bit of a rocket up the ass, really, because I think that's what we need.
Yeah, I think so. I agree, mate. And I think that, let's just look at this, kind of this season, really. I think we said, generally you judge a manager on when he's had time in the summer to bring his own players in. And even though he's had a relatively limited budget. And I think that generally, after 10 games, you kind of know where you're going to be. That's the marker. That's what everybody says. You kind of know whereabouts you're going to be in the league come the end of the season in general. 10 games in, we're 11 games in now. We're at the bottom. Minus 16 goal difference. And I think that, based on that alone, I think that performance is enough to dismiss the manager. Unfortunately, I think given the manner of the defeat yesterday against Harrogate, that is also enough to dismiss the manager. And I also think that his current record at the moment, though, he did keep us up last season, fair play to him. But the win percentage, the win ratio, the sort of run of fixtures and the thing, I think we said, you know, two wins in 28 or 29 or something like that, is not good enough for any manager at any level. So those kind of three elements, I think, you know, on balance, suggest that it would be the right time to dismiss him, unfortunately. And whether or not that happens, we don't know. But my prediction is probably by the end of the month, unfortunately. Unless it turns around, I can't see it. And I don't think he's got any ideas left. You know, which is unfortunate because we kind of, when he came in, he was sort of the manager we were looking for, you know, relatively young and upcoming, sort of like an affinity with the club, you know, a good playing pedigree as well. And we thought that the kind of team with him and Lizards with a wealth of experience and again, kind of, you know, a good history with the club, would be a good combination. But unfortunately, it's not been the case. We've not won enough games. We've not put enough good performances. And at the end of the day, Cox has to earn this because it's his team, it's his squad, it's his tactics, it's his decisions. And we are, again, rock bottom of the league. So I'm afraid that's the way it is. And yeah, I don't really have much more to say on that. But it's a grim weekend to be a Scunthorpe United fan. And, you know, it can only get worse from here.
Certainly is, yeah. Right, let's finish there, I think. Once again, if you have made it all the way through, thank you very much for listening. I guess we'll see you next week. We'll see what the week brings. Right, cheers. See you on the next one.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.